And welcome back to the Be a Money Boss Mastermind. Today, I have the pleasure and honor of introducing you to Marcela Silva. She is a land baroness and has an incredibly unique story and investment opportunity to share with us about today. It's not something that's often talked about, so I'm super excited to have her on. Welcome, Marcela.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me. It's an honor to be here today.
Thank you. And so I want to just dive right in. A lot of what we've been talking about in this series is how to create ease with money and grow wealth in unconventional ways. And I think you are a role model for this. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and how you became a millionaire?
Awesome. Well, thank you for considering me a role model, and I'm happy to share my story with you. So yes, right now I'm a land banker, but before that I used to be a software engineer working for the government. And back in 2007, while I was working there, the laboratory I was working at went through a major transition. They used to be run by the University of California, and then they got switched to being run by a major conglomerate. So as a result of that transition, they completely changed all of their benefits packages, including retirement. So I had then an old 401k, which I had to decide, do I put it into the new 401k program they were putting together, or do I do something completely different with it? And I vividly remember at that time, Michelle, sitting at my kitchen table, looking at my old 401k statement, thinking to myself, the only way this seems to be going up is when I put money into it. This is absolutely ridiculous. It's basically just a glorified expensive savings account. So I knew right then that I had to do something different. I wasn't just going to keep putting those funds into, you know, more 401k investments. So I started going out and looking for different opportunities to invest in. And I decided I wanted to invest in real estate. Why real estate? Well, it's created wealth for people throughout history. And I grew up watching my parents invest in real estate. And they actually specifically were investing in land. But at the time, I wasn't really thinking about land. So started going out looking for different opportunities. I got my real estate license, started going to real estate investment seminars, reading books. And along the way, I decided I really did not want to be a landlord, dealing with what I call the three T's, tenants, toilets, and termites. Not that that's bad or that that's wrong. It just wasn't for me. I didn't have the time or patience or funds to really deal with that. So one day I went to a seminar and I happened to sit next to a lady who was talking about land banking. I was like, land banking? I'd never heard of that before. So naturally I was very curious about it. She started telling me a little bit about it, and I knew right then that I wanted to learn more. So I went and learned everything about land banking that was necessary to make an investment decision. And it was like one of those gut feelings, Michelle. I knew right then that I had to become an investor. So I actually took my old 401k money and I rolled it over into what's called a self-directed IRA and used that to purchase my very first property. So my IRA actually owns my land, and I bought that land in March of 2008. You think about March of 2008, that's right as the economy was starting to tank, right? I mean, that was a big downturn. So luckily, I took my money out of the stock market before I lost a bunch of it. And in the first year of me owning my land, so many developments were coming in right next to it. It was causing the value to increase. So I said, wow, there really is something to this investment. So I decided to retire from being a software engineer, become a full-time land banker, to let other people know about this amazing opportunity. So since then, I've purchased 9 properties. My goal is to own between 30 and 40. So I'm well on my way. I control over 1.4 million square feet of land in the most high growth areas of California. Just to give you an idea of how much land that actually is, it's over 33 acres. So you could build 205 single family homes on that much land. And I bought that land for an average of about 44 cents per square foot. With land, 44 cents per square foot, I mean, to me, it's amazing that we can even buy land at that price in California. But if you look at highly developed areas like us. We live in the San Francisco Bay Area, right? Land in this area, minimum, absolute minimum, probably $15 per square foot. So if I sold my land for $15 per square foot and I bought it for 44 cents per square foot and I own over 1.4 million square feet, you can see that that is wealth creation at its finest. So that's kind of my story about how I got into land banking and my path to wealth through land.
Very exciting and unconventional.
Yes.
So, yes, what is land banking exactly?
So land banking, by definition, is the practice of buying affordable, pre-developed land located in the path of growth. So, for example, those of you watching this today, imagine the city that you grew up in. Think about what it used to look like when you were a kid. Now think about all of the development that's come in, shopping centers, housing, maybe distribution centers, any development. All of it needs land, right? Well, imagine if you had owned that land before those developments came in. How powerful that would be. Those developers literally would not be able to develop unless they had your land. So what do? They come knocking on your door, begging you for your land. They need you. It's, like I said, a very powerful position to be in. It's not like they can just go to Costco and find another piece of land off the shelf. There's only so much of it available. So basically what land banking is putting yourself in the path of growth, blocking developers from being able to develop, and they need that resource, that asset that you own. It can create tremendous wealth for people.
Wow. Okay. And so just to help people understand, what is the difference between land banking and land investing?
Sure. Absolutely. A lot of times I talk to people and they automatically have the mindset of land investing or what most people consider land speculation. So land investing is considered land speculation because it is a buyer beware asset. It is completely different than traditional real estate. And the average person does not have the access, nor do they even know how to do the proper due diligence of the land. That is typically why it's considered land speculation, because people don't know how to do it. And throughout history, it's mostly been done by the extremely wealthy, the people who can afford to hire the experts to get them in the right areas. People like Bob Hope, Ted Turner, Harrison Ford, Clint Eastwood, a lot of United States presidents. I mean, if you think about it, throughout history, those who own the land control the wealth. Land is the original investment on earth. Wars have been fought over land. So land is a very powerful asset, but you have to know how to do it properly. And that's where land banking comes in. And that's what we specialize in. So land banking, on the other hand, is investing in strategically located land that has been fully mitigated, meaning that all of the necessary due diligence has already been done, which is not easy at all. When you have to have the proper maps, knowing where the infrastructure is going, having connections with the city, it's truly a laundry list of things that you have to be aware of in order to do that proper due diligence. Just for an example, our company does over 27 different points of due diligence on a particular parcel of land before they ever consider it for an investment. And then on top of that, you have to understand the economy, both macro and micro levels of the economy. That's a huge factor when investing in land properly. So it's really the level of due diligence that is being done that can make investing in land either good or bad and speculative. So that's the difference. And many times people will tell me, oh, you know, Marcella, there's so much land out there. It's because we specifically invest in California. You'll drive around and you might see some land. But what they don't realize is that a lot of that land is not developable. There's really not that much developable land left. So it's not what you see, it's what you don't see that can really hurt you when investing in land. And we take care of that speculation.
Getting it. Okay, and so why is this such a good fit for, or such a good investment for the right fit, and who would be a good fit for something like this to grow well exponentially? Sure.
So, well, simply, land is a finite it's a finite asset. You know, they're not making any more of it. It will always be needed. It can never be replaced. It's a very easy investment when done properly, and it can create superior returns for people without a lot of headaches, like I mentioned before, tenants, toilets, termites, or volatile markets. And when done properly, land is actually considered to be a contrarian investment, meaning it can make money in both boom and bust cycles of the economy. So for people who are looking to boost their overall nest egg, because maybe they just can't save enough money to do that, you know, they want investment that can create great returns for them. Maybe they just want to create wealth, or perhaps even leave a legacy. Land is a forced savings account. So you pass it on to your kids and grandkids. They can't just start treating it as an ATM and spend all of that money. It will actually create wealth for people. It reminds me of a client I have. Her father had gifted her a parcel of land, which he had purchased in the Bay Area for a little over $200,000 in 1980. And for the past 20 years, she had been receiving offers from developers who wanted to buy that land. She kept turning them down. Finally, back in 2015, she ended up selling it for over $7.2 million. One piece of land, a little over 2 acres. That's how powerful land can be. And that's truly wealth creation and legacy at its finest. So people looking for those types of opportunities, land might be a great option for them.
And someone who has a little bit of patience and yes. doesn't need to necessarily have liquidity with the investment.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Patient money. That is the most important part about investing with land. You know, when you're investing in land, you're investing in the growth, future growth of the city. That doesn't happen overnight. We're not creating artificial returns. It's through the natural growth and progression of cities, but that's why it's so important to understand all the necessary factors that go into figuring out, you know, high growth areas, which is where, again, our due diligence process comes into that. And the average range is typically about 7 to 10 years. So a full economic cycle. That's typically the amount of time our investors look at. Could it be sooner? Absolutely. I mean, I have an investment. I started receiving offers from developers within 6 months. Could it take longer? Yes, it absolutely could take longer. And the thing with land, I always tell people, don't be in a hurry to sell it. The longer you hold it, the more it's worth. That's just how land goes over time. As there's less and less and less of it available, the value continues to rise. So being a patient investor is the key to investing properly with land.
All kinds of wheels are spinning right now. So people that I'm thinking about that I serve, you know, clients that maybe are stay-at-home moms that need a boost to their retirement savings because they haven't been working for a while.
Absolutely.
Anyone who is maybe gone through a couple of job or even career changes and has old 401k money kind of sitting around that they haven't done anything with yet. Or even, you know, people who are concerned about getting enough money to live off of in retirement and need that extra boost from the assets that they're already managing and saving. Is there anyone else that comes to mind that you can share an example, you know, that might resonate with people?
So, well, there's also the hedging against other markets. So people will use land to kind of hedge against downturns in other markets because, like I said, it's a contrarian investment. And also, I have a lot of real estate investors who invest with me. So people who own maybe a lot of rental properties, commercial properties, they'll sell a property and do a 1031 exchange. They can buy land with me, and our land is affordable enough, minimum $25,000 to get a property with us. where, you know, they could buy some land and maybe buy another rental property or what have you. So there's a lot of options, but probably I'd say at least 90% of my clients do it for their own personal retirement because they realize that it's going to take a lot of money to be able to retire on, especially as we are living a lot longer. You know, they want an asset that's going to perform for them and that will always be there. Land can't disappear. So it's going to be there for them when they're 80, 90 years old, still performing.
And so is this available to anybody?
Yeah, so the best way to answer that is they need to have a minimum of $25,000 in long-term investable funds. So if all they have is emergency funds, I'm going to tell them, you know, maybe save up some money so that you can achieve that amount in the future. And when, like I said, when I say long-term, typically at least 7 to 10 years. And as Warren Buffett states, a true investor will not buy anything they cannot hold for at least 10 years. And so sources of funds are typically cash, 1031 exchanges, like I mentioned, old 401ks and IRA monies. You can roll those over into what are called self-directed IRAs. And when you do those rollovers, you do not get hit with any fines or penalties, anything like that. Probably 80% of my clients use self-directed IRAs. And yeah, it's available to anyone who's interested in this type of diversification and has the long-term investable funds and patience for it. That's so key. If you have the patience, you can do extremely well with this investment.
And since you mentioned Warren Buffett, I'm going to go there. Is he doing things like this? I mean, we know he's big in real estate, but is there anyone you can share that's doing this type of investment that we might know of?
Yeah, sure. Well, so as a matter of fact, Warren Buffett is very much invested in one of the areas where we invest. He actually spent over $2.5 billion a few years ago buying over 6 square miles of land for a massive utility scale alternative energy project. And I have investors literally right next to him. And as he starts making money on that, they start expanding. It's quite an amazing opportunity out there. There's also another manufacturing facility that recently came out a couple of years ago, owned by a company called BYD, stands for Build Your Dreams, used to be owned by the richest man in China. Now the number one shareholder in that company happens to be Warren Buffett. And what they do is they manufacture batteries and electric vehicles. And since coming in, they have gone through a huge expansion of their facility, almost 5 times the size that it used to be. And the best part about it is the very first property I bought from Valour back in 2008 is right next to that manufacturing facility. And they just bought another 165 acres of land to build another manufacturing facility just for a different type of vehicle. So just an example of Warren Buffett being invested in that particular area where we're investing. But in land in general, like I said, Bob Hope, a lot of people know of him as a famous entertainer, but what they don't know is that he was a major land investor. He actually owned over 12,000 acres of land throughout Southern California. So he used his entertainment business for cash flow, but he used land to create tremendous wealth. And he died a billionaire because of all of the land that he was able to amass throughout Southern California. You might be familiar with Disneyland. Part of the land that Disneyland sits on used to be owned by Bob Hope. If you ever fly into the Burbank Airport, that is called the Bob Hope Airport simply because he owned the land that airport now sits on today. I also believe Universal Studios, part of that land was Bob Hope land as well. So Ted Turner, I think he's one of the largest landowners in America. Very wealthy gentleman.
This is just very exciting that it's so accessible to so many. And to expand a little bit about what you mentioned, and in case anyone's not familiar with what is going on in Southern California, can you talk a little bit about those initiatives and developments that you were talking about?
Sure. So honestly, ever since I became a land banker 10 years ago, it appears as development and growth is almost speeding up here in California. First of all, population growth is growing at a faster rate. Just in 2016 and 2017, California's population has grown 1 million people. That is a tremendous amount of people. And if you live here in California, you're probably thinking, where are all these people going? Traffic is already bad enough as it is. So if you have to travel far distances, I'm sorry to say it's only going to continue to get worse. And on top of that, I mean, obviously with all that population, that requires a lot of development. But California is passing a lot of laws as well, which is consuming our land. For example, a couple of just very recent laws, Senate Bill 100 was just passed in September by Governor Brown, which says, by the year 2045, California has to be 100% alternative energy. That is huge. There are several laws that were passed before that, which were kind of incremental, but now we're going 100% green by the year 2045. And the amount of land that has already been consumed as a result of Assembly Bill 32, which was passed back in 2010, which said by the year 2020, 33% of California's energy must come from alternative energy sources. Almost 186 square miles of land was consumed as a result of that very first bill, and that didn't even get them to 33%. So we were kind of did the numbers and looking at how much energy is being consumed here in California compared to how much land will actually be needed to create enough energy to power California with green energy. There's almost not enough land available for it. And we happen to be in the perfect environment, the perfect location where all of these huge utility scale alternative energy projects are going in. So without going into too much detail on that, that is literally causing the largest land rush in California's history. And if you look at everything that alternative energy is touching, it's transforming a lot of industries throughout the world. And it's causing the largest shift of wealth in the entire world. I actually have a whole hour and a half webinar just about that particular topic. So I don't want to go into too much more detail on that. If any viewers want to see that, please let me know. Also Proposition 64, which was passed here in California, which is the legalization of marijuana. A lot of land is going to be needed to cultivate all of this cannabis that is going to be grown. And not every city is allowing these types of developments to come in. So we happen to be invested in areas that are very pro-business city governments, and they understand the amount of tax revenue that they're going to get for their cities as a result of allowing this to come in. So just in one city where we invest, they've approved about 10 new cannabis cultivation facilities to come in just this year. It's only been, you know, we're 10 months in. So that's a huge, huge potential as well. On top of other factors like the Amazon effect. Everybody buys stuff online these days. Amazon is bigger than the 8 largest retailers combined. They are massive. So what is the Amazon effect? Well, if you're buying something from Amazon, you want to get those goods within a 24 to 48 hour period. How does Amazon make that happen? They make that happen by building massive fulfillment centers within a 100 to 200 mile radius of major metro markets. For those of you out there that live in major cities, think about new Amazon warehouses that are coming in. And it's not just Amazon that's going to do it. All of these other companies out there are going to have to get on board with e-retailing or they're going to go out of business. So these facilities can be upwards of 200 acres of land. That's a tremendous amount of land needed for these fulfillment centers. And again, we know where that land is. and where those types of developments are going, and we're positioning our investors right in the way. It's almost like real life Monopoly. I love it.
Or looking into the future. I mean, for me, it's so easy to see 2, 5, 10 years down the road with that environment in the area where the land banking is going on. Of course, there's going to be major development between online shopping and green energy and growing, cultivating cannabis. Like, it makes a lot of sense.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, there's so many more other economic factors that we look at as well. Those are just some of the newer trends that are coming in and consuming in our land at a very rapid pace.
And so why haven't we heard about this really amazing investment opportunity? I feel like it's a hidden gem.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It is a hidden gem. And honestly, the only way you're going to hear about it is through word of mouth. And that's simply because due to the amount of knowledge necessary to invest in land, it has generally been restricted to the ultra wealthy, like I said. 40 years ago, our company, they created a system and business model which helps the average person create wealth through land. And since land is a finite resource and it's very difficult to acquire high quality land in high growth areas, our company does not do any form of marketing, because we would not even be able to service mass amounts of clients coming in at any one time. It's actually harder for us to find the land than it is for us to find the clients. So it's a limited supply. The only way you're going to find out about it is through word of mouth. And we would never sacrifice the quality of the land just to make more sales. So it's through the happy clients and investors of Allure that our future investors are able to learn about this opportunity. And honestly,
thank you for sharing it with us.
Absolutely. And probably, you know, our viewers, their kids or grandkids won't even have this type of opportunity available to them, especially here in California.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. And so is there anything else that we haven't hit on that you wanted to share about this land banking opportunity?
Well, really, you know, there's a lot that goes into what we do. I highly recommend getting on one of my webinars, or if you live in the nearby area, I can meet you face to face, just educate you about this opportunity, about the company, the due diligence that we do, the areas we invest in, and everything that we look at in order to position our investors in the best possible investments that are out there. So yeah, get on one of my webinars and you'll see for yourself what a great opportunity this is.
Well, how can we join your webinar? Where can we find you and sign up?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go on to my website. It's www.dirtisgold.com. You can also email me at marcella@dirtisgold.com. You can sign up there to get notifications about my webinars. I also have all future upcoming webinars listed there, so you can sign up and get on one of those. And I look forward to talking to you and helping you create wealth through land as well.
Love it. Dirt is gold.
Yes, it is.
And I just wanted to share something as an educated investor. When I first started learning about this with you, one of the first questions that I had is, well, is this real estate? Is this a pool of investors? I just wanted to clarify that this is real estate. It's your name as the investor on the deed of trust, and Allure at that point becomes more of a support organization, right? When you go to negotiate the sale of the land at whatever point down the road, is that?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. It's a fee simple transaction. So you become the owner of the land. Your name goes on the grant deed. Title insurance is paid for by our company. And you are in complete control of that. And like you said, Michelle, yeah, we basically provide service to our investors at that point, keeping them updated and helping them through those negotiations with developers. It's a tremendous service.
Absolutely. It makes so much sense. Thank you very much for sharing this opportunity with us, Marcella.
Absolutely.
We'll make sure to get yes, make sure to get your email and the website posted for our viewers as well.
Perfect.
The email out then with your interview link.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. It's been a pleasure being on here since I'm a newbie at doing these types of video podcasting. I think I survived it okay. So you did a great job. Thank you for being a great interviewer.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye. Have a good one, everyone. Take care.